Sorry for the technical difficulties, that was my fault. So I'm going to speak about the lab origin of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, right? It was made in the lab, and let's get right into it. Apparently not. Okay, here we go. So this is what SARS-CoV-2 looks like from close up. This is the Wolpertinger. Okay, if you can believe that this creature is naturally evolved, then you will have no difficulty believing the same of SARS-CoV-2 also. Okay, so we'll skip this question for now. We might get back to this later on. This is the lady, Li Mingyan, who did most of the work, which I will be briefly reviewing. She is a virologist from Hong Kong and escaped to the United States. Whatever you may think of her political sympathies, her scientific work is sound, even so it has not been published in so-called peer-reviewed journals. Okay. Before we get into the details, here just a brief glance at coronavirus. On the left-hand side, you see electron microscopy. You see this corona of spike protein molecules, which gave the family its name. Here a cartoon. We see again the spike protein, which is at the surface and at the core of the particle. You see the protein-encased RNA genome, right? So the RNA is one long molecule which is all curled up here, and it is protected by this nucleocapsid protein. There are a bunch of other proteins, but we will be focusing mostly on the spike protein, which is the which initiates the contact with the host cell and therefore has a crucial function in infection. Okay. Now, this is just a brief overview, right? The entire RNA genome is one single molecule, and all the genes are here located like a pearl on a string. And the gene, which is labeled with an S, is the spike protein. Just as a reminder, the immune system can actually recognize during a viral infection all of these proteins, whereas the artificial vaccines contain only the spike protein, which makes them inherently inefficient. And I guess you will hear more about that in the course of this conference. Okay. Now, what does the spike protein actually do? It sits on the viral membrane, and it must bring about ultimately a state of membrane fusion, which permits the mRNA, so the viral RNA, to enter the cell. Now, there are various steps involved here. The initial is the binding to the receptor. The classical receptor for this virus is the ACE2 receptor on the host cell. Then the bound spike protein must be cleaved by a protease, that is a special protein also provided by the host cell, that snaps off one part of the S protein. The remainder then sort of harpoons the host cell, and this sets off the final events of membrane fusion. Okay, so it is clear that the particular part of the spike protein that binds to the host cell receptor is crucial. Okay, now the receptors, in principle, right, the ACE2 receptor occurs in all animal species, or at least vertebrate species, but they always look a little bit different, okay? They have a little bit of a different shape, and the spike protein of a given coronavirus strain must adapt to it. It must perfectly bind to this receptor in its own host species in order to be efficient, okay? Now, in this context, we are told that the SARS-CoV-2 virus was originally isolated from a bat. Okay, we would therefore expect that the spike protein of SARS-CoV-2 should bind bat receptors better than human receptors. But it turns out from the very beginning, the very first strains of the SARS-CoV-2 virus that were reported bound more effectively to human receptors than to bat receptors. So this is clearly an aspect that simply does not fit the official narrative. Okay, now this is just the actual structure, not going to talk much about it, but notice, right, the ACE2 receptor is in dark gray, whereas all the colorful parts are part of the spike protein. You see that only a small portion of the spike protein binds to the receptor molecule, and this crucial part is the so-called receptor binding domain. And here we see the sequence of several coronavirus is aligned. At the top, we see the Wuhan strain. And this Wuhan strain has, right, the part that's highlighted in orange here is actually the receptor binding domain. And we see that the Wuhan strain has some insertions, if you will, right? The closest relative of the Wuhan strain, the SARS-CoV-2 virus, the original one, is a bat coronavirus that is called CZ45. And you see that in the receptor binding domain, there are several mismatches, right? There are several gaps that are occupied in the Wuhan strain, but which are not occupied in the CZ45 strain. Now, remarkably, in the SARS, the original SARS virus, which otherwise outside this particular part of the sequence is less closely related to SARS-CoV-2 than is the CZ45 strain, we see a perfect correspondence, right? Each position is occupied in both of these sequences. So this led Jan to propose that the SARS-CoV-2 receptor binding domain is actually derived from the original SARS virus, and it was simply systematically varied through experimentation. Now, such experimentation would require the testing, the experimental testing, most likely in cell culture, of multiple sequences. And it turns out that as a provision for this, right, the receptor binding domain is bookended by two so-called restriction sites, EchoR1 and BST2. Everybody who has already worked in the lab sometime will recognize these two old standbys, which are very convenient for using in recombinant DNA technology. Now, naturally or randomly, these two restriction sites would be very unlikely to occur in this very position. Okay, they have been clearly engineered in. The likelihood that this would have happened spontaneously through evolution is on the order of 1 over 24 million. So that's very unlikely. So that is one clear feature that points to a lab origin of the sequence. Another one is the existence of the so-called furin cleavage site. It's highlighted here in green, right? You see that this sequence, just a few amino acids, does occur neither in the SARS virus nor in the CZ45 virus, but it does occur in SARS-CoV-2. And this is the only virus in an extended group of homologous viruses that carries this site. So this most likely was also engineered in. Now, what does this do? What does the furin binding site do? Furin is a protease which is expressed in every cell, essentially, in every nucleated cell in the human body. So this enables the SARS-CoV-2 virus to enter a greater variety of cells in the host organism than it would otherwise be able to infect. Okay, so this means that SARS-CoV-2 becomes infectious for more different tissues and therefore becomes more virulent. Okay, now other mutations that have been detected in the spike have been proposed and since also experimentally proven to recruit another receptor, the CLEC4M receptor, and yet another receptor, toll-like receptor 4, is also able to bind spike, or rather the other way around, spike binds to that receptor also, right? So binding to additional receptors other than ACE2 also will increase the host cell range amenable, accessible to SARS-CoV-2. So all these mutations together are quite unlikely to occur in nature, okay? Now, what do we find in the peer-reviewed literature, right? So Jan's work has been excluded, has not been published in the peer-reviewed literature, but we do find in the peer-reviewed science are several virus genomes, which were allegedly also isolated from nature, but which are equally unlikely to have had a natural origin. For example, there was one bat virus, alleged bat virus, which again was found to bind to bat cells, bat cell receptors very poorly. And overall, we can conclude, right, that the SARS-CoV-2 virus genome has statistically impossible features and a statistically impossible accumulation of features. And on the other hand, a couple of very characteristic traces, right, that point to the use of recombinant DNA techniques and the use of this virus. It's actually kind of surprising that they left this in. Maybe they were rushed to release this virus because it would not have been difficult to actually remove these traces, okay? Now, nowadays, everybody agrees, even it's openly discussed in the US Congress and so on, that this is a lab-made virus. But in the meantime, the fraudulent studies that are supposed to prove that this is a natural virus remain in the mainstream scientific literature. None of these studies have been retracted. So you can draw your own conclusions as to the value and accuracy of the peer-reviewed science surrounding SARS-CoV-2. Okay, that takes me to the end. Thank you.